Critical Disclosure Radio with Jim White.
Oh, Polly, oh, Polly, it's for your sake alone. I left my dear old father, my country, and my home. I left my dear old mother to weep and to mourn. I am a rebel soldier and far from my home. It's grape shot and musket and the cannon lumber loud. There's many a mangled body, the blanket for their shroud. There's many a mangled body left on the fields alone. I am a rebel soldier and far from my home.
Hey, thanks so much for joining me here today in the broadcast. I'm your host, James White. This is the 17th day of November 2022. And we're coming to you live from Kalispell, Montana. We are expecting Dr. Douglas Frank to be joining us here shortly. I know he's traveling and he's on the road. And he said that his cell phone coverage is going to be in and out and kind of spotty, I guess is probably the term to use. So we're hoping that he catches a good spot here and he's able to join us here on the broadcast. He's been on the broadcast before. He's a world-renowned physicist and election expert. And he is going to be here to break down what just happened here, over the last 10 days or so. And also, we have John Lamb is literally waiting in the waiting room right now. And he is going to be here at the bottom of the hour to update all of us on the story that he covered a couple of days ago. I just was able to get the video published on my Rumble channel of John Lamb. The video, I think, an interview I did with him a couple of days ago. You can check that out over on rumble.com and look up Northwest Liberty News there. You should be able to find that there. And we are waiting again for Dr. Doug Frank. I've been texting to him this morning already, with him this morning already. And again, he told me before he did the interview that he may have issues because he's traveling right now. I think he's on his way to the airport. So he hopefully will be here just in a minute. Let me just give him a quick ping here because, you know, when you're driving, you get distracted on things. And I certainly don't want him to put himself in any peril to get on this interview. Let's see if I can send him a text. Okay, here we go. All right. We'll give him a text there. We'll see if the good doctor can make it on the show here. Again, if he's not able to make it, we'll have John Lamb and we'll bring John Lamb on and we'll give an update on what happened with the missionaries there in Ennis, Montana. They're facing $50,000 in fines, as John reported here on this broadcast a couple, 2-3 days ago. I don't remember now when he came on. Days just run into days, and there's just so much to do. I can never keep on top of everything. I have so many good guests that come up with such good information, and just I wish I had more time to process all of it. I have a tremendous guest scheduled for this afternoon that is going to be, well, you'll be shocked when this interview is played out on the air, when I process it and put it out. You'll be shocked to hear what I am about to break here on this broadcast starting tomorrow. I really have a lot of concern for this young lady's safety. I do. I've been trying to get her to get on this show here for a couple of days to get the word out immediately for her protection and her safety. And when you hear the interview, you'll understand why. So I will, I'll just leave it at that. And if you want to tune in, the plan is to play that this tomorrow, just to play the interview, this interview I'm doing today, tomorrow. And I will, I'll send out the appropriate announcements beforehand. But it's shocking. Shocking is, it confirms a lot of the stuff that I have reported on and known really for a long, long time. But no one in my career of covering these topics has anyone that has been is as much of an insider that my guest is going to be. That is, my guest is deeper inside than anyone I've had on my broadcast about it. And I checked her credentials and everything, and it seems to be to be legit. So tune in tomorrow, and you're gonna be shocked and amazed, quite frankly. Okay, so I'm not sure if Dr. Doug Frank is gonna be making it here. What I may do is I may just bring John Lamb on the show, and what I'll do is bring John Lamb on, and then if Dr. Frank comes on, what I'll do is I will just have to have John put John back in the waiting room, and then bring Dr. Frank on and put John back in the waiting room. So that's what we'll do. I don't know if he's ready for me here or not. Let me text him. I don't know what he's up to here. He may be involved in something. I don't want to, you know, catch him eating a sandwich or something when I just pop in on him. Let's see. Let me send him a text and see if he's ready. And then if he is good, if he is, we'll bring him on. And John's going to give us an update. He's right there. He's been on top of everything that's going on here with the Christians that are being persecuted, but it appears to be these folks have been traveling across the country carrying a cross, and literally carrying a cross, and they have like a small, I say entourage is probably not the right word, but okay. So John is ready to go. Well, he'll explain the situation to him. We'll have him recap everything here, and then we'll get an update. So here we go. We'll bring John Lamb on right now. And he is joining us here. Join us here each week, my friend. So if you... okay, so hold on. Okay. All right, John should be joining us here. I think he is joining right now. He looked like he was on the road as well. So he may be having some issues connecting. I don't know. Maybe there might be overall cell phone issues or connection issues. Don't know. Don't keep up on top of that stuff. My cell phone seems to be working fine as far as I know. I got, I have one bar, which is pretty odd. Yeah. Huh. Okay. So we'll just wait for John to join us here. He should be joining us any minute. He's actually joining right now on the screen that you can't see to my right here. It says joining. So he is on here joining, and as soon as he actually does join, we'll bring John Lamb on the broadcast. And it's always great to have John here. He was just here a couple of days ago. And then here, I think, about a week or so before that, when he was, had him on to talk about his campaign, and he was running for U.S. Congress here out of Montana. And Ryan Zinke won that vote, and Monica Trunnell, I think, came in second. Okay, so I guess John is joining. I'm not sure. There he goes. All right, he must have had to come back on again. That was him. I heard the beep. John, I don't know if you can hear me. Hello? All right. One of the two connections dumped off, and the other one is waiting to connect. So what we'll do is we're going to cover some news stories here while we're waiting for him to connect. Obviously, it's his connection is, well, you know, it's imminent. We covered this yesterday. Let's just hit this really quick while we're waiting for John to get here. The you know it's bad when the liquidator for Enron. Remember they made movies about Enron and about how an unbelievable debacle it was, and how many people they scammed. The guy that liquidated the Enron debacle says that he's never seen anything like this. He's speechless. The guy doing the FTX, the guy overlooking the FTX, the same guy that did the Enron, is speechless over what he's seeing here with this fraud. And I don't think that really surprises many people. And we see now it's being traced back to Republicans, like we've talked about on the show before. Don't fall into the Republican-Democrat trap. That is the paradigm that they want you to be in. That's their paradigm. That's their arena. That's where they have more power because they are able to divide. So don't fall for the whole Republican-Democrat thing. The Republicrat. Isn't that what they're called? Republicrats? Uniparty? Whatever you want to call it. I just don't know what's going on with John here. He's. I see him, but he's not coming on. I thought I saw him. So, I guess he'll continue to try to get on here. He says, for some reason, he's just rotating and it says connecting. Okay. Well, that's a text from him. Let's see. I'm just going to say try again. That's all I can say. Let's see. Close it and try again. Close it and try again and see if that works. He's probably on his phone. I'm sure he is. So, maybe... Okay. We'll see if John comes here in a minute. Anyway, the FTX scandal, the liquidator for Enron says that he's speechless. It's like nothing he's ever seen before. Well, what do you think went on with that? Do you think that they were laundering money? Do you think that they were taking tax dollars? And apparently all this war effort in Ukraine, they were taking that money and they were sort of funneling it back to Democrat Party and people in the Republican Party. Let's see if we can get John on now. You know, interesting, he was just on earlier, and I saw his face, and I had him on mute, but now all of a sudden he can't get on, which is interesting. Very interesting. He's trying to join again, it's just not letting him. It just says spinning. It's not letting him join. So I don't know if we're going to have John. Maybe he needs to fail over to just calling in on the phone. How about that? I'm going to have him just dial in. I'm going to see if he can just dial in. Sorry, folks, doing this. Let's see. So Dr. Frank is having tech issues as well. Isn't that interesting? So Dr. Frank just texted me, said he's having some technical issues as well. So that's interesting here. So I don't know what, you know, when I tell you that the interview that I'm going to be doing after the broadcast today is so bombshell and so devastating that they may actually... Like I said, I know everything's a conspiracy, nothing's a conspiracy, but this doesn't happen typically. Those that watch my show, you understand that I'm able to get on my guest join, never have any problem, hardly ever, with that happening, but we're having problems now. So, not really sure, but not really sure what's going on. We'll have to continue to try to connect. That's all we can do. And Dr. Frank, it sounds like he's trying to connect also, and so is John Lamb. Odd, for sure. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, it could just be overall connection issues, you know, in the network. That wouldn't just surprise me. That's probably what it is. However, it is unusual that I have two guests that are in two completely separate locations that are both having problems connecting here. So let's see. We'll just continue to carry forward and see what happens. We'll see if one or both of them can connect. And we'll continue to cover some of this news. Okay, so this may be, let's see here. Let's see. This is probably John. Let's see if we can get John on here.
Hello?
John, can you hear me?
I can, yes. Sorry about the technology here.
Hey, no, not a problem. So I've got another guest, Dr. Doug Frank, who's also been trying to connect. He's having some connection issues as well. But we're going to keep you on and get an update of what's going on there. If he happens to come on, John, I'll have to put you back in the waiting room. I hate to do that, even though we've had so many problems here connecting. But if he comes on, and I don't know if he's going to be able to connect or not, if he does, we'll have to bring him on. But otherwise, why don't you go ahead and give us an update about what's going on there? We had you on a couple of days ago to talk about this travesty of justice here in Ennis, Montana. The missionaries are facing, if I remember correctly, 20 years in prison and a $50,000 fine. And I know the youngest was put in the custody of Child Protective Services. So, John Lamb, I know that you have been on top of this. I just published our interview. Unfortunately, I was only able to get around to it just this morning. But if you go on my Rumble channel for North of Suburban News, you can see the interview you did a couple of days ago. You were literally outside the courthouse after the hearing. And now it's been a couple of days. So if you could, for myself and our listeners, John Lamb, can you give us an update of what's going on there?
Yes, thank you so much, James. It's still a developing story here on the ground. I'm in Madison County as we're speaking. We've had a long last few days. I haven't slept much since Monday. We've had court on Tuesday, got one of the gentlemen out of the Boulder jail in Jefferson County. On Tuesday night, Eric Trent was his name, 28-year-old North Carolina minister and missionary from North Carolina. Yesterday, we got the last three remaining missionaries out of jail from Gallatin County, where they were being held. An 18-year-old daughter of Jesse Boyd, and then there's Carter Phillips. Bethany's her name. And I'm sorry, I'm a little tired yet. I've been on the ground here, like I said, since Monday morning working on this case and trying to help these individuals get out of jail. We ended up raising $20,000 in the last couple of days. That was their bond, $5,000 a piece, because it was $50,000, 10% of it was $5,000. Then we had to come up with another $4,000 for ankle monitors to get them out yesterday. So it's been quite the ordeal. Also, you mentioned the 12-year-old son of Jesse Boyd, Josiah Boyd. He was placed in social services custody. We ended up getting him out, too. I interviewed young Josiah yesterday. He was just thrilled to be released. Also, it was quite a scary experience. He gave me a detailed experience how officers in Madison County pointed guns at his head and held him at gunpoint, ordering him out of the vehicle first.
John, you have to hold on to that thought. I hate to put it back in a waiting room, but my other guest showed up. So hold that thought, pointing guns to the head. Sorry to leave it at that. But I'll put you in the waiting room, right back with you here after this other this guest leaves. Okay, thanks, John. Okay, so we are going to invite Dr. Doug Frank on to the show here. And then we already should have him already loaded up here, ready to go. And hopefully he'll be joining us here in just a moment. His says joining as well. Sorry for that, folks. Okay. Right. Let's see. I don't know what's going on with the connections today. Who knows? Who knows what the heck? There we go. Is that Dr. Let's see here. Let's see if we can get him on here. There we go. All right. Dr. Douglas Frank, PhD. Yeah, sorry for the connection issues. We had another guest, doc, that was on as well, and they had problems connecting also. So I don't know if there's just some general connection issues right now. I know you're connecting to your audio. So there you see Dr. Douglas Frank is on the phone with us, or on the connection with us, and he's connecting now to audio. He is traveling, and we're already having, as I said, folks, we're already having some connection issues, as you can see from our previous guest, the difficult time that they had getting on. So we're going to hang with Dr. Frank here, and he should be coming on here as soon as his audio gets connected. And that's the technology that we're in, folks. I mean, even the fact that he can come on this broadcast while he's traveling probably 30, 40, 50 miles an hour down the road, to him to come on live here is amazing technology. So as soon as he gets connected here, there he goes. Let's ask him to unmute. And as soon as he unmutes, we got him there. Dr. Douglas Frank, can you hear us?
1, 2, 3, I can hear you.
Excellent. Excellent, Doc. Very good. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. As we stated, you are traveling right now, and technology is marvelous, is it not, that you can be traveling down the road and talking to us here in Montana, putting it out across the internet.
Exactly. Technology is great for some things and really rotten for other things. Like, technology is a bad idea with voting.
Hey, listen, man, no arguments here. So I know that you are traveling. We're going to have you on here. It was a little bit of a late start here. I know we're going to have you on here for only about another 10 minutes or so, because I know you said
you're right.
So give us, if you can, a reset on what happened here over this last election. I mean, I think people that sat by and watched, especially what happened in Arizona, where, you know, we had Carrie Lake come out. Literally, I heard her say, it's mathematically impossible for me to lose this race. And she loses the race. Doc, you're a mathematician. When someone says it's mathematically impossible, that to me means it's mathematically impossible. Can you just give us a reset on what you think is an overall view of the election and how it went?
Yes. In one of my recent talks, I put up a slide quoting a famous philosopher. It says, they're lying to us. We know they're lying to us. They know we know they're lying to us, and they lie to us anyway, and we keep pretending to believe them. Here we are, once again, they're right to our face. And most of the public is just keeping their head in the sand and not engaging. The reason why someone would say it's mathematically impossible is because you know how many of the precincts have reported, you know how many of them are left, and so you make the mathematical calculation, you'd have to have more than 100% of the remaining precincts in order for you to lose. So guess what? It's mathematically impossible, but it's not impossible when you have the ability to add more voters at the last minute who all vote. And that's what, so, you know, in her comments, when she says it's mathematically impossible, she's absolutely correct. But that's assuming that the bad guys can't just add a bunch more voters and then vote them. And that's the situation we're in.
You know, Doc, and I've said this on my broadcast, it almost seems like it's meant to humiliate us. I mean, you saw Mike Lindell. He had live time coverage of the votes, and they're dropping, 2 million votes. They're shaving them off because it looks like they're getting too far ahead and they don't want to, you know, give up the gig. This is blatant. This is open. The cameras happen to go out for 8 hours, and then the Democrat that was behind now is in the lead afterwards. Do you think there's, in some aspect, and I don't know, psychology is not your forte, and I'm not asking you to look at clinical determination here, but do you see it as somewhat the way that just trying to humiliate the public and let you know, like you said, we know you know we're cheating, and we're going to do it right in your face anyway, and there's nothing you can do about it, Doc?
Yeah, I think we're in a situation where the media is complicit, and so what happens is people see things with their own eyes and they don't make sense. So, but then when the media gives them the explanation that actually doesn't make sense when you look at it technically, but it makes sense to somebody who's not looking at it analytically, it's sort of painting over the errors. And people are complacent, they're apathetic. They don't want to have to look into it in detail, so they just accept the lie. And so I don't think it's as much as trying to humiliate us as just as much as they know that the apathy of the public is so great that they can get away with it. And, you know, it's sort of like, well, you know, we stole your money last time. We're going to steal your money again. What are you going to do about it? Well, you didn't do anything about it last time. I challenge you to do something about it again. And the difference is that the public is steadily waking up. And so even though it's still flagrant, there's less of it. And more and more people are waking up. So it's sort of like it's hard to win the fight when they have all the weapons and they make all the rules. And so the only way we're going to turn this around is when the local communities finally say, you know what, we're tired of having our money stolen and our children molested. We're going to stand up and we're going to defend our elections so that we can protect our communities and our children. I mean, it's kind of like that, but people don't really understand yet. So it's sort of an education issue too. You know, my favorite saying in my talks is, you know, education is key, but the fix is local. So we're going around educating everybody, but it's not like we need to educate the legislators because they don't do anything even when they are educated. We have to educate the locals, and then they can fix things locally. You know, if I divert for just a second, I just spent 4 days in Colorado. I'm headed back to Denver now to head to Texas next. What was I doing for 4 days? I only gave one talk formally in a big meeting at the symposium that they hosted on Sunday. All the rest of the time, I'm working with local officials, local sheriffs, local grassroots groups, local clerks, and we are tearing it up in Northeast Colorado. And you notice that's not because I'm going to the legislature or the Secretary of State. It's because the locals are getting educated. This lady came up to me afterwards. She says, you know, Dr. Frank, she says, I feel so much better. She says, I known something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was or what to do about it. Now I know both. So that's why I spend so much of my time with the grassroots, because once they know what to do, get out of the way, man, because we got an army of super moms that are got their mama bear claws out and they are raring to go.
You know, Doc, there's a movement, a chorus, mostly of those on the right that are saying, well, we need to out ballot harvest the left. The left has got the ballot harvesting thing down. We need to out ballot harvest them. We need to beat them at their own game. Can you comment on that, Doc? We got about 2.5 minutes left. Can you comment on that line of attack and that tactic?
Yes.
I should say,
in California, ballot harvesting is legal, and so that is a huge problem, because not only are they ballot harvesting then there, huge amounts of money is going into ballot harvesting, and you're actually buying ballots from people, which is illegal, but nevertheless, it's happening in vast amounts. Same thing in Florida. People think the Florida elections are clean. No, they're not. There's a tremendous amount of ballot harvesting going on there, even though it's illegal. So I gave two extreme examples there, two extreme coasts, too. It's illegal in Florida. It's legal in California. Yet in both places, it's widespread and heavily funded by the Democrats. So I suppose I agree with it in principle. If you're going to do ballot harvesting, I would say we should never do anything that's illegal. So in California, absolutely, we should do a better job ballot harvesting since it's legal there. But instead of doing something illegal in Florida, I would say we need to get in there and prosecute the people that are illegally ballot harvesting. How about that for an answer?
Yeah, I like that a lot. And lastly here, Doc, we only got like about a minute or so left. What's your thoughts on the big announcement here a couple of days ago by Donald Trump that he is running again? Of course, you know, what you hear, and people probably rightfully so, say, listen, what's it matter? If they steal the elections, doesn't matter. Superman runs. I mean, if they steal the election, what's the, you know, what's the use, Doc?
Exactly. If they're going to steal, then there's nothing we can do about it. But that doesn't mean we should throw up our hands and do nothing, because we've got 2 years before that election, and we are making progress in communities all across the country. And it doesn't take a lot to tip the scales in a lot of these swing states. And so I don't, you know, what are we going to do, just roll over and let them steal our communities and molest our children?
No.
We're going to fight back.
No, we're not.
Exactly. And so I think 45's announcement that he's going to run is very encouraging. And absolutely, I support it. And absolutely, I support him. And so do many people in the movement. And we just need to fight for election integrity before then, to limit the ways of cheating. And in many states, we're making good progress in that category.
Doc, we're just out of time, Doc. I apologize. We got a hard network break. Have a safe trip, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Dr. Douglas Frank, keep up your great work. Always great to have you on the broadcast. You too, brother. Thanks, man. All right, there goes Dr. Douglas Frank. Folks, we just got a network break here. As you know, we got to take this network break. We'll be back on the other side, and John Lamb will rejoin us here on the show.
Bridie on Radio and BridieOnRadio.com.
This is an amazing company that has sponsored both of us. And this is a way to have backup communications when the grid goes down.
Well, the situation became problematic, Mike, with the New Orleans, the latest hurricane, because people panic. And this is one thing that I've learned from being associated with the satellite phone store for over a decade. People will call and order 600 phones at a time.
What?
It's like this, Mike. Anytime there is a crisis, people want these. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created such a good deal for Mike's viewers, my viewers, our combined viewers, that this is the only way you're going to be able to communicate.
And that's the other beauty about these phones, is they can't track you because it's not talking to a cell tower. It's talking to satellites, you know, orbiting over the equator. So SAT123.com, folks.
The U.S. prepares to bolster troops in Eastern Europe, and tensions build with Russia.
Secretary Austin has placed a range of units in the United States on a heightened preparedness to deploy, which increases our readiness to provide forces if NATO should activate the NRF, or if other situations develop.
We have been consulting with allies in deployments and refining plans for all scenarios. We've always said we would reinforce our allies on the eastern flank.
Stay up to date on Bridie on Radio.
Treasure Island coins and precious metals. Mike Adams of naturalnews.com says 2020 has shown us that we must prepare for the unexpected. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your fiscal well-being during the coming financial pandemic. Shipments are delivered safely, discreetly, and securely right to your door. A precious metals IRA allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Your metals are held in the form of real coins and bars in an actual depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit BrideonMetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island coins and precious metals. We're here to help. Visit BrideonMetals.com today.
Take a stand against biased talk radio.
I'm going to take a strong stand against it.
And listen to Bridie on Radio, where we give you both sides of the story.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTB at checkout for additional savings. BrideonStore.com.
Bridie on Radio and BrideonRadio.com.
We are here each weekday, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon Mountain Standard Time on a variety of great networks, including Brighteon Radio, brighteonradio.com. It's brighteonradio.com. And we are delighted to be joined after the break here by John Lamb. Again, he was here with us earlier. And Dr. Doug Frank, as you heard, came on. He was scheduled to be here at 10, had some connection issues. And we want to thank Dr. Doug Frank for his time, because I know he's traveling and we appreciate him being on here. But now we have John Lamb back on the phone, and we are covering the incident that occurred here several days ago in Ennis, Montana, where the missionaries, five missionaries, one being a minor child, had a confrontation with a local rancher. The police were called. They were all arrested, and the child was taken in by the CPS and in their custody, and the other four were arraigned, I think, last Monday or Tuesday. They are facing 20 years, I believe, for aggravated assault and $50,000 fines. And we have John Lamb, who's been basically working without sleep because he is a true patriot, and he cares for people. He's a man that cares for humanity, and we are always delighted to have John here. And John, thanks so much for doing all that you've done and keeping sort of, you know, keeping this in the, you know, in the spotlight. I'm sure these folks really do appreciate you. And these are not violent people that are sitting there right now facing 20 years in prison. They literally are carrying across the country, across the country. And they have a group that goes with them. I know that drives, you know, with them to sort of assists them, And they are in some they're facing some serious times. So I'm going to go ahead, John, and turn it back over to you. You talked to the child and said that they pulled guns on him. I think that's where we left it. So I'm going to go ahead and shut up, turn it over to you, and you've got the floor.
Yes, yes, James. Thank you so much. I have been speaking to hundreds and just dozens and hundreds of people from across the country, either through social media or on the phone. People have reached out to me on the phone by the hundreds across this country concerned about this, other church members. I'll start back again where young Josiah, he was one of the first ones removed from the car, the vehicle there that the missionaries had along with them as they was making this trip. Officers pointed guns at his head and ordered him out into the snow from the vehicle, quickly handcuffed him behind his back. He described it to me like they handcuffed him. They took him to one sheriff truck, stuffed him in the back of the truck, in the back seat, handcuffed, locked him in there. And then moments later, pulled him out of that truck, took him to another truck, stuffed him in that one. With his hands handcuffed behind his back as they was arresting his father at gunpoint, his sister, and the other two young missionary men that were there, all of them were handcuffed and arrested. They never even really get to give their statement or even tell their side of the story. This other gentleman who actually attacked them, pulled over along the road, attacked them, assaulted them. He was let go free, and these five were hauled off to CPS and jail. It was just such a tragedy what's happening here. The law enforcement did not do their due diligence. They did not investigate this case. Even one of the officers told them during the interrogation later on at one of the police stations that I can't do anything about it. We've already pressed the charges. We have to let them just go with it and let the court system decide this. I can't reverse this, is what he said. You guys have been very polite. I know there's something's wrong here. Missionary Jesse, he keeps saying, we've walked 5,400 miles across this country, 5,400 miles. We've had 5,600 people that we have met along the way. They log it all down in their little log book. They take notes and journals. They've done an awesome work the last year and a half, just meeting hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people, and they've never had nothing like this happen. He said, this is a total stranger. We haven't been to Montana before. We're walking down a desert, a highway in the middle of nowhere, and somebody pulls over and blocks our path, attacks us, tells us that we don't belong in Montana, that we should go back home, leave Montana, that Montanans don't want them, attacks them, drags Jesse to the ground and beats him up. And then these missionaries get charged with a crime that this gentleman did to them. It just doesn't make sense. It's a horrible tragedy. Shame on Montana for allowing this to happen. I mean, how can our justice system arrest good God-fearing missionaries just walking down the road for something that somebody else done to them? What's that?
It's not a justice system. It's an injustice system. There is no justice system anymore.
Exactly. I sat through court and listened to the lies the prosecutor is accusing them of, and he has no evidence, no nothing, except one lone rancher or lone guy that blocked their path and just told a bunch of lies, and they believe that one guy over five other people. It just doesn't make sense. These people are not aggressive. They did not initiate no fight. The only thing they did was just try to defend themselves from somebody attacking them along the highway.
Has anybody reached out to Austin Knutson by any chance to have him review, since he is the chief lawyer of the state? Is there anybody that's reached out to him, as far as you know, John, to have him review this, at least, give his view?
There's been numerous people messaging me and calling me and saying that they're doing it. They're sending emails and messages to Austin Knutson, to our governor, to other legislators here in the state. Many people are doing that, and I encourage more. Get involved, send letters, try to get get an investigation on Madison County Sheriff's Department for their corruption and what they've done. Madison County, I want to make a note. I live in Madison County, and Madison County has had a history of corruption, and I'm writing an article today trying to get it printed out. But they've had a history of corruption for several years. 4 years ago, our sheriff of Madison County got arrested. Roger Thompson was his name. I actually defended him during his trials because I felt that he was set up by corrupt law enforcement that was in his own department, setting him up and charging him wrongfully. He ended up getting convicted on minor charges and just agreed never to be sheriff again. His undersheriff that set him up, which is Phil Fortner, ended up replacing him and taking his job, is the one who testified against him and set him all up. And then mysteriously, just a couple of months ago, Mr. Phil Fortner, our sheriff, resigned under other more corruption charges and disappeared. So we've been out without a sheriff until the last few months, until just this new sheriff has been elected. And within 5 days of the new election, our new sheriff has already arrested missionaries that are walking down the road and are being assaulted by other residents there. We have a long history of corruption in Madison County. It needs to be investigated. We need Austin Knutson, our governor, to investigate these crimes of the law enforcement there in Madison County and stop this injustice from happening again.
You are correct, my friend, and I have this. I've just put on the screen there the number to the Madison County I'm with it's the court, but it's the Madison County clerk and everything there that you need to get in touch with. Here is the number here. Let me get it here on the screen to make it a little bit larger. This thing just doesn't seem to act like it's not, things aren't acting technologically proper today, man. Something's wrong with the technology. Anyway, Madison County, 406-843-4230. That's 406-843-4230, and the clerk of the court is Carmen Hill. That is the name of the person there. And that number is, again, 406-843-4230. You can go right on the Madison County, Montana website, actually, and you can see, it's MadisonCountyMT.gov. MadisonCountyMT.gov. And that's how we change things, is we all speak out. Because, John, what I've been trying to get across to folks on this show here, and you can either agree or disagree, but the only power they have is from the consent of the governed. The consent of the governed. By being silent, we almost give them tacit consent. We don't say anything. They're going forward. Go ahead.
Yep, I agree 100%. And we have to speak up. We have to make that change and hold these officials accountable when there's corruption within our counties. And we definitely have corruption in Madison County. We have a new elected sheriff just shy of 5 days. This very last Saturday, Tuesday was election. Within four and a half, five days later, we already have more corruption and false arrests within our county. And I know I'm not standing by silent. I'm going to expose them. I'm going to continue fighting this corruption. And these men are innocent of what they're being charged of. They were simply defending themselves along the road from an irate, angry, mad man that lived there in Madison County. And we're going to prove it. These men are strong men. They're God-fearing men. And we're going to go to court. We're getting lawyers that are great lawyers from around the country that are going to defend their innocence.
John, my hat's off to you, man. You are, this is not the first time that you've defended those that are unable to necessarily defend themselves. And you truly are, I think, a man with a heart for God. And I believe that you're genuine article. And I appreciate, that's why I appreciate having you on. I appreciate the work that you're doing. What is next? What's next for these guys? What can people do? Is there a GoFundMe account or anything like that set up for them to be able to help with attorney's fees? And then any type of a bank, like, you know, sometimes people open accounts at the bank, so you can go to your local account and just deposit money there and it automatically gets in. Into, you know, the account necessary. What type of, is there anything like that set up, John? What's been put in place to help these fine folks?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things, because they've got a long road ahead of them. We've got hearings and court trials and preliminary hearings, and then eventually jury trial if it makes it that far. It's already cost them over $35,000 just to get all five of them out of CPS or jail just in the last couple of days. $35,000. We've had a lot of generous people from around the country, even from other countries that have been helping with this, but we're far from over. Thousands of dollars in attorney fees are going to be, I mean, it's just needless. There's two ways they can do it. One is to go directly to these people's church website, and there's a donation link. It'll tell you about these people. You'll find the history and how loving and great these people are. And that website is F as in Frank, P as in Paul, G as in girl, M as in Mary.org. So FPGM.org. And that's one way. If anybody else wants to help with this and send any donation to help them or myself through the mail, they're welcome to send it to my address, which is John Lamb, 1627 West Main Street, Suite 101, Bozeman, Montana, 59715. If you put a note in there and say, hey, this is to go to the missionaries, or write a check out directly to them, Jesse Boyd, Jesse with an E, J-E-S-S-E, B-O-Y-D, or make one out to John Lamb, either one, however you want to direct that donation or help, please go to their website or send something through the mail there. It will go to the proper places. We'll help fight this injustice.
John, I'm going to humbly request that you send me that information that you just said over the air afterwards, and I'll put it in the video link below the video. I'll put it there in the text link, the text box area there below the video. So when we get off the broadcast, some point in the next couple, 3-4 hours, if you could do that, I'd appreciate it, man. Appreciate it very much.
Yes, I will, Dave. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Okay, so what's next for you, John? Are you going to get some sleep, man? You sound like you've been up for a long, long time. Oh, I mean,
well,
go ahead.
Well, we got a long day today. So their vehicle, they got out of jail yesterday. No clothes. Everything they own was taken from them. They were placed in other jails. So Virginia City, Madison County took everything they owned. Even took Jesse's pants that he was wearing. They took him to jail in his underwear, things like this. I mean, so they got out of jail yesterday in Bozeman with nothing. All their cell phones, wallets, keys, everything is down in Virginia City. We still got to go down there and pick up things. Their car is an impoundment out of Ennis. We still got to pay all those fees to get their vehicles back. All their clothing, suitcases, just everything you can imagine. They was taken with nothing, and they got out of jail with nothing. So we're still working on getting all that stuff today. And then the next couple of days, we'll be sitting down with attorneys, having round tables and moving forward with this. And December 13th, 1 p.m., I'll send this over and I message these links and addresses after a while, James. But December 13th at 1 p.m. is our next court hearing in Virginia City. I encourage everybody to be there. Come out, listen, observe. Find out for yourself what's happening for this injustice. Don't take my word for it. Listen to what's happening in court and the injustice that's happening from this prosecutor and this judge and this sheriff's department there. And find out for yourself. Come and support these guys. I'm going to support them all the way from this point through trial. I'm going to stand with them until they're proven innocent.
Well, let's try to set up, if we can, an on-location live feed. We can live stream that trial. I know you'll probably be on the inside, but I'm sure there'll be some friendlies on the outside that we can connect with that will keep us up to date. I'd be happy to live stream that That goes on the 13th. Okay, John, tell you one thing, man. Again, my hat's off to you and all the great work that you've done there. Please keep us updated here on the broadcast. You know, I can have you on typically most of the time. I don't do a whole lot of guests these days, so I can have you on most days. Just reach out to me in enough time, and I'll be happy to make arrangements or do a special broadcast if necessary. So anything you want to say, John, in closing before we go ahead and end this interview?
No, just thank you so much, James. We'll keep you updated as things keep happening. At least the guys are free and out right now. That was our main goal the last few days. Now we can move forward and start getting some work done and changing this injustice. And just again, thank you so much for having us on and listening to this story. And thanks for all the listeners out there that are showing support and helping in so many ways. We couldn't do it without everyone else out there. And it's just amazing at the outreach that has happened the last few days. My hat's off to them. I thank you so much. I can't thank everybody enough. Thanks a lot, James.
That's right. You're quite welcome. We need to hang together, or we'll certainly all hang separately. That's for sure. So keep up your great work, John. God bless you, man. Stay safe.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank Goodbye. You. All right. There goes John Lamb. Doing some great work there. Doing some great work there. And let me go back to this here. So I'm on the right page here. And I'm going to have to remove this. Sorry for this here, folks. I'm trying to get this straightened out here with the video thing. Well, there goes John Lamb. And, you know, we appreciate, again, like I stated, appreciate all the work that he's doing there. And he's going to keep us updated on what's going on. They are out now of jail, and apparently they have to have ankle monitors. So, and that was $35,000. Nice. you know, and I don't know. I have to be honest with you. I don't know the exact. I haven't known. I've never heard of these individuals. I put the website fpgm.org. fpgm.org. I put that website in the chat room there, and that's how you can find out more about them. I had never really heard of them or know much about them, but I can say this generally, okay, speaking generally, and I'm subject to, this is subject to change if more facts come out, but if you've got an organization that's walking 5,000 plus miles across the country, carrying a literal cross and trying to, you know, witness to folks and handing out tracts and talking to people about spiritual things, not likely they're going to be beating people down in the process. Is it possible? Well, these days, folks, I think you'd pretty much agree that anything's possible, right? But not likely. It's not likely that these folks are doing the kind of things that John admittedly stated, you know, an eyewitness in the courtroom, that they're lying, the prosecution's lying about these folks. And, you know, does that surprise you? You know, winning above everything, winning above all, that is, you know, I mean, that's the problem, right? I mean, that's one of the problems with the legal system. They win, they get a feather under their cap. When an opening gets, you know, an opening comes available, you know, they've got a record that reflects, you know, hot shot status, and they move up, and, you know, ultimately the love of money, of course, is the root of all evil. And that, I believe, hasn't changed since the beginning of time. So, we, our thoughts and prayers go out to this family here that, is facing some serious legal, calamity, perhaps. 20 years in prison is serious business, not to mention the $50,000, which I imagine they probably don't have a whole lot of dough to pay that, since there's five of them. I think maybe only four of them have to pay that much, but that's still a couple hundred grand. You know, traveling missionaries, they don't live in luxury high rises typically. They're you know, they live as they go. They don't have that kind of dough hanging around. But we'll see what happens. It sounds to me like they have really good attorneys, which is good. And, you know, I guess if you have to have attorneys, it's good that they have good, you know, probably have lawyers. They probably have guys like Roger Roots that are not really attorneys, but are lawyers that are going to really try to, you know, different legal strategies, maybe outside the box. I don't know, but hopefully we'll be kept updated on that. So that's the situation here in Montana. And I know people are so shocked, right? I mean, I've been saying this for quite some time. For those of you that are shocked that this is going on in Montana, I've been saying for several years that despite all the beauty, you know, and just the breathtaking beauty of the state, it's there's an underbelly of corruption. There's an underbelly of corruption here. And I was a bit shocked about it myself, but it's true. So this is the type of stuff that you see. I mean, you see it, it goes from the Supreme Court, I think, all the way down, flows down. You know what flows downhill. So all we can do is we can, you know, we just have to continue to battle it. And that's just what it is, right? It's our battle every day. It's a battle against tyranny because these people aren't just, they won't let up. There was no, they give us no quarter. They're not just going to stop being tyrants and go, we're sorry. Ain't going to happen. All right, folks, we're coming here to the end of this broadcast. We want to thank Dr. Douglas Frank for taking time out of his busy schedule to come here on the show. And we certainly hope his travels are safe. And we also want to thank John Lamb for coming on the broadcast and giving us an update about what's going on there in Ennis, Montana. And I see Darren Gobb, who's our first guest next hour, is already in the waiting room. But before we invite him on, we have to take a commercial break and take, we're end of the show's over. So hang around here. We'll be back after about 3 or 4 minutes with hour number 2 here on Northwest Liberty News. Until then, this is James White for Northwest Liberty News saying bye now.